Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar and welcome to another Lunch with Norm. The right Lunch with Norm. Let me do that again. Hey, it's Norm Farrar here, aka the Beard Guy, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, Rise of the Microbrands. There, that sounds a lot better. Can you tell that I was stressed? Yes, our Wi-Fi is cut out a few times today, so I'm going to apologize in advance if it does. This will be edited. But let's see, where is Mr. Lakels?
Hey, yeah, sorry about that. That is cut you off a little early this time, but
there you go.
That's a whole part of the fun.
Yeah, but yeah, that's got to replace my son.
That's part of life. Yeah, but welcome everyone. Hope everyone's having a good Friday. thank you. But yes, if you're new to the show, we are doing our Facebook group that is always available. It's Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and E-commerce Collective. I'll put the link in the bio in the description box, as well as if you are interested in any full episodes or daily episodes, you can go over to our YouTube page, Norman Farrar. That's where all the good stuff is. Welcome, Manny. Welcome, Andrew. Andrew's in Brazil today.
Wow. Nice.
But that's yeah, how's everyone's Good Friday going? What do you have plans for the weekends? What are you excited about? We'd love to hear in the description box. As well, if you're watching from YouTube right now, hit that subscribe button, smash those like buttons. We really appreciate it. As well as take some time to go into our Facebook group and answer a poll about show notes. Are you interested in show notes? Where do you listen to them, or where would you like to read them if you had the opportunity? What do you want to see in them? We're just looking to overhaul everything. So yeah, let us know. And I think
end of the podcast, we're going to talk to you about our biggest contest ever.
Oh, and, yes.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But right now, I'm going to be talking with a buddy of mine, a really interesting guy named Daniel DeMassa. He's the founder of DieEpic. And we're going to be talking about building a tribe. So I don't know how big of a crowd we're going to have. It's Good Friday here. And we're also going to be doing this on Monday, by the way. So anyway, we're going to push through. Hopefully we get a huge ton of people asking questions, because this is going to be incredible. How to build your tribe. How do you build your community and have people interact, similar to what we have to do here on Lunch with Norm. So building that Facebook group and just getting people to, you know, talk with us. So that being said, if you have any questions, send them over to the comment section. We'll get to them as soon as we can, or we'll publish them on our community. And for now, let's sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and enjoy the show.
There he is.
Mr. D.
What's going on, brother? So amped to be on once again one of your great podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Now, Daniel, you've been on I Know This Guy. And that's been a great podcast. You, Andrea Lake, also went on to the podcast. And, man, it is one of the most downloaded podcasts that we have.
You tell it to everybody, don't you?
Right. Yeah. So awesome. Anyways, you got to check it out. People love it. People love Daniel's story. I still got to get in with that speeding ticket thing, you know, the app. Yeah, you got to listen to the podcast to understand what we're talking about. Anyways, Daniel is a friend of mine from Fort Lauderdale. We meet at least once a year. We have some cigars together, not one, maybe two, when we do meet. And we just have a great time. And by the way, Daniel, one of the great things about what I love doing is networking. And, you know, we met at a party, but we talked. And all of a sudden, you know, we became friends. And, you know, it's great. I mean, there you go with networking again. Just find out about people. Talk about, ask people rather than just talk about yourself, right?
Yep.
So true. Let's talk a little bit about you.
Gotcha. So for anyone who's new here, again, Daniel DeMassa, down here in beautiful South Beach, Miami, and I am the founder of both the DieEpic and the LiveEpic brands and some smaller ones. started off as apparel brands, but that's kind of spun out of control as my tribe grew. And now I'm making skydiving parts and gym bags and all sorts of weird, crazy things I've never in a million years thought I would ever be doing.
Now, I should mention, too, this is a minor detail, but between you and your partners, how many t-shirts have you sold?
So between the four of us, we're well over $1 billion in t-shirts sold. I am the lowest on the totem pole, and I am proud of it. I couldn't be happier to be the lowest man or, you know, person on the totem pole, you know, and I'm a little self-conscious because this company's called Teacher with two E's. So Teacher, so we teach people how to start t-shirt brands. So we have Andrea Lake, who had the sales right to Call of Duty, Walking Dead, I mean, Minesweeper or Minecraft, all the biggest video games, just absolutely crushed it. She was so big selling t-shirts that when you go to a store in the mall, she would count what percent of the walls were hers. Like, she was insane. We have Dan from Tap Out, who's an awesome entrepreneur. We all know that brand, which he exited. The next is Griff from Combat Flip Flops. Now, if that sounds familiar, they're a bunch of military, I think Army Rangers that went on Shark Tank using their kind of Ranger know-how or whatever high elite military they are. And they just watched every episode, took notes on what worked, so crushed Shark Tank. And now they're on all of the best of Shark Tank videos. And then there's me, Mr. Nobody, who's never been on the TV, where all three of those three rock stars have been on TV. So I got to have a chip on my shoulder. I got to get on TV one of these days.
Well, you know, I'm sure you will be. I'm sure you will be. Maybe after this podcast. All right. Let's talk about building tribes, communities. This is huge. First of all, I should mention that we do have a giveaway. And the giveaway, Daniel, what is it?
We'll do a $100 gift card, anything Die Epic, or based on our site, dieepic.com, which we have Live Epic, Bluetooth speakers, the best gym bags on earth, whatever you need. We'll give that to the winner.
Okay. And how about we just use hashtag Die Epic. No. And awesome. If you tag two people on this podcast, you'll get an extra entry. How's that?
That's great. But I have to warn you. So one of my major KPIs is how many people are using my hashtag. That's kind of what will lead our kind of perfect segue into building tribes and brands and that good stuff. So I will have to warn you. It's a pretty busy hashtag. We're well over 100,000 people using it. So hopefully we don't have to search too far to find the post.
Well, you know what? How about we just change it? I want Daniel. There we go. There. I want Daniel. Hashtag I want Daniel, and you got it.
I like it.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about Die Epic. Where did that come from?
So I never wanted to be the t-shirt guy. Never in a million years. I'm more of a tech guy. And I actually would just make t-shirts for myself that just said Die Epic on it. Huge adrenaline junkie. So I would, you know, get up 3 a.m. here in Miami, drive down to Key West, go for a 7 a.m. boat leave to go dive on shipwrecks. Or I just did a crazy, 182-mile skateboard race. It's always out of my comfort zone. And just my whole life being out of my comfort zone, I always just wore shirts for myself that said Die Epic. Never sold them. There were just two words that motivated me. And the correct term is actually Live Legendary, Die Epic. And that saying really just kind of spoke to me. So I started making shirts for myself. Occasionally, a couple of guys and gals would come up to me, ask me to buy it. And then I'm like, oh, it's just my silly shirt. You know, no, thank you. So then I had a packed bar. This is actually back at the Jersey Shore. You know, get your jokes ready. And I was with some lady friends at the time. And I see these really monstrous, huge guys coming over to kick my butt. Like, I know when you're in trouble. They're pointing at me. They're getting their buddies. They're pointing at me. And I, like, put my drink down. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to get my butt destroyed. These guys were monsters. So they keep pointing at me. And I'm like, all right, well, either I can get my butt kicked in front of these girls like a wuss, or I could go over to get my butt kicked in front of these girls, and I'll still be – at least I'll have my butt kicked, but at least I'll look like more of a warrior. So I'm
like a man.
Going over there. And I go over there, and then you start to see where they have tattoos saying, I should have killed you yesterday, and it gets a little bit – I'm like, oh, here we go. Probably should check my underwear. Well, it turns out they were – what the main leader was one of the Rock stunt doubles. So that's how big and tattooed we're talking. They were all stuntmen, and they just loved the shirt. And that's when it hit me. I was like, okay, so they're not coming to kick my butt. These people really, really want to sell them some shirts. And if I don't, they are going to kick my butt. So that was the light bulb moment. And I also want to do a big part for charity. So that's kind of where the light bulb went off. And You know, from there, and then the little embarrassing thing is at Diepic Instagram was my personal Instagram account. There's pictures of probably just me hanging out with my dog, you know, like if you go back thousands of photos ago, and then next thing you know, it turned into, you know, a global brand.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Now, you said thousands of photos ago. All right. How are you starting to cultivate this tribe and grow it from a couple of stunt doubles to where it is today?
Great question. So everyone has KPIs, you know, and you know, most you know, people, it's, you know, average cart size, monthly reoccurring income. And we all can ramble off our top 10. But for some reason, I did hashtags and jokingly tattoos. So hashtags and tattoos. And when you're, you know, I never ask people, like, first off, let's set the record straight. I never ask anyone to get a tattoo. I would never do that. We're not a cult or anything like that. These are just fans. And it was more of the hashtag one. And the reason being is, I'm deeply embarrassed. My past life, I was an electrical engineer. So I'm very analytic, very tactical. I don't tell people that normally. So when I'm studying these brands, I just wanted, before I launch, like, what makes Tapout, for example, successful? Like, how can I, you know, all these brands are private. How do you know if they're being successful, what their tribe's like? And of course, the answer is hashtags. So I started looking at brands and I would write down all their hashtags. And then I would get a tool, again, big tech guy. I found software that I could track their hashtag usage. And I could see who's basically paying for fake followers because they have zero or it's not going anywhere. I could see brands that don't have a lot of followers, but their hashtags are through the roof, kind of like mine, because they're real people, real adrenaline junkies who are engaging with it. And that's when it's like, okay, aha, this is kind of the lifeline of your brand, because they will use your hashtag to show you photos of them happy in their gear, maybe to complain. You know, that was really the focus. And she is not paying me to say this, but Andrea Lake has a company called StickerJunkie.com. And she has the cheapest stickers. They're just black like this. They're long. And they're perfect for a hashtag. So I would just grab those, put them in stuff as many as I could per order, give them to everyone. When I went to a show, I would just hand them out for free. I mean, we're talking maybe 5-10 cents. So even if I spent $30 all day at a show handing them out. But that was just to keep people that top of mind, hashtag Diepic. They kept using it. And now, again, more light bulbs are going off. You can connect with them. You can see how they like the gear, repost their photos, you know, all that good stuff.
Now, let's go back to the tattoos.
There's a lot. So
you know that you have a pretty successful brand when people will go out of their way to tattoo their body and tag you. So how many people do you think have tattooed Diepic on their body?
Well, we're talking hashtags. So you know what? Now, they are different per platform. So you're not going to, one of our influencers is big on Snapchat, but it's a shame because I can't like share those. But right now, full transparency. I mean, if you go to Instagram, type in, I think it's like hashtag Diepic tattoos. Whenever I try to repost them, I do try to, again, Mr. Hashtag. I think I do hashtag tattoos or hashtag tats, something like that. Yep. So there's probably, I don't know, 50, 100 just there. But, and then I also like to ask for permission before I put them out there, but it's definitely hundreds and hundreds. There's not an exact count, but the craziest one is when I saw a girl in Russia who had Die on one calf, Epic on the other calf. She only spoke Russian. I only, you know, speak English. I'm looking at this Instagram. Luckily, we're a bunch of us entrepreneurs hanging out here in South Beach. There's a lot of, Russian population. So they're translating it, and it's crazy. But the fact that girls who've never been to the States are in Russia tattooing this on their full legs, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, and I know that during our last podcast on I Know This Guy, we checked it out. You know, we went on and we were looking at these hashtags. And sure enough, there was tons of them. I think you're being very conservative at hundreds. I mean, there are tons, let's put it that way, of people with Diepic. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't think anybody's going to put Soap Club on their tab.
you never know. In high school, I had a buddy, and I swear his dad had a Microsoft tattoo. And that was a big deal. We weren't in a tech town. We were in a little bit of a rough area in New Jersey. And this guy, so you never, if he had a Windows tattoo, you never know.
You never know. Maybe we will get somebody with Soap Club. All right. Okay, let's talk a little bit about building that tribe online. Where do you start? So a lot of people that are listening today, Amazon sellers, about a third of our listeners are probably new to Amazon, and then a third, medium and then advanced. You're new. Why is it important, first of all, to be online? and building a tribe.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'm starting to get a lot of requests to start doing consulting in this space, and I have to break it down. Again, I am very tactical. So there has to be, I have to be able to prove on paper that it really does, you know, make money, is worth the time and energy. And the way I look at it is, let's talk commodities. I know you guys, a lot of people watching this are big in the Amazon world. And I was at a Klaviyo talk, and they said, you know, if you think the last 10 things you bought on Amazon, at least half of them are commodities. I don't know what paper towels I got from Amazon. You know, I don't know the brand of toilet paper, toothpaste. I just don't know whatever's on sale. The next step is actual brands. You know, do you want to be something where it's a, even Kleenex, for example, is a well-known brand, you know, something where now you can charge a little bit more because you're an established, well-known, trusted brand. And then I take it a step further with these tribes, you know, a community. Now, and here's how I can kind of prove it out business-wise. Let's pick on Tesla. We all know Tesla's a huge borderline cult, like they call them. If you were to right now, first off, Tesla doesn't advertise. So that proves my point already. That's how great of a tribe they built. But if you were to start bashing Tesla online on Facebook, how quickly will the Tesla fanboys and fangirls start commenting and protecting them and saving them, you know? So it just there, you've proved. Now you don't have to hire a social media manager almost. You know, if you're doing a $500,000 ad spend on Facebook and everyone's using the bad emojis, you know, on, what is it, the angry emoji or the laughing emoji on your ad, they're talking garbage in the comments, and your tribe isn't there naturally saying, no, I love this product, here's a picture of me in it. Just think of how that's going to affect your ROI, period. You know, so it really does, you know, I just try to reset everyone's mind. I know everyone wants to hit, you know, million mark, 10 million mark, billion dollar mark. But I just think of a very simple, almost a thermometer when I mentor new brands. And I say, just focus on, let's pick on my hashtag. In the beginning, it was I myself using reposting photos, trying to explain to people what hashtag Die Epic is and how it's all about living legendary. Now, if I break my phone and never touch a computer again, people will still be using the hashtag and they'll still be telling that story. And when your customers are telling your story better than you, that's it. That is what you want in business. Stop chasing 14 gold plated Lamborghinis. I get it. But you know, that is something tangible, actionable, and it's going to give you, you know, a real brand.
You know, I've got a partner in the chat agency called, his name's Paul Barron, and he has a brand. They're swim diapers. Okay. They're just swim diapers. They're seasonal. Very competitive. And all of a sudden, people started coming and listening, and he had this influencer following. So customers became influencers. The influencer became the brand ambassador. Mm-hmm. Now, for the most part, when he has anything, if he needs anything, well, in the last 3 months, he's got 2,000 images of people with their kids. Yep. Where are those? You know, and a lot of those are tagged over to him, right? Mm-hmm. So then they have this other, well, I'm talking about them, the brand ambassadors. They're paying to be a brand ambassador. I don't mean that they have to pay a membership, mm-hmm. but they're paying for the product. They might get 25 or 50% off, yeah. but they're under contract to do X number of images, a video of content or whatever it is, mm-hmm. but they're actually under contract and they're passionate about the product. Now, can you imagine having 100 or 200, 5,000 people passionate about your product mm-hmm. and that will stand up for you? And if somebody does have negative, like reputation management, mm-hmm. somebody comes online, like you said, and smashes you for something and it's fake, mm-hmm. and you have these people that are going to come back and just basically defend your honor. Mm-hmm. You know, what better can you do? And what better is there?
Yeah, exactly. It's the multiplication factor, because not only can they, manage your brand reputation for you, they're your best salespeople. They're now your social media managers because they're giving you all the content. And just think, when you're starting out, again, I'm picking on myself when I just had hashtag Die Epic. And the cool thing is, I could prove no one ever used it before me. So I own the word, trademark, domain, all that good stuff, because no one ever used it. So I'm trying to, you know, if you go back 5-6 years, you know, you can start by just start building your tribe in that space. So for me, of course, adrenaline junkies. So I'm just reposting, I'm commenting, I'm engaging with adrenaline junkies. And again, stickers are cheap. That's one of the biggest keys to success. stickers end up on skydive helmets. They end up on motorcycle helmets, laptops at coffee shops. They everywhere. Back of phones is my favorite one. I see my I made little helmet stickers. I should call them phone stickers because they end up on phones more than helmets. But again, that's all very, very cheap. People see that, and that's just how you start to get that spark of a tribe. And even if you're not even selling anything yet, but now that those stickers are out there, eventually they'll end up, as I mentioned, all these places. People will send pictures, and then you repost it. And now you're starting to mix in where it's just photos of other people you're kind of shouting out to things with your products. Even if it's just stickers to start. And then it's like a snowball going down the hill. Then you start getting the first couple people in your shirts. And then it just kept speeding up until I remember the day. I get goosebumps right now talking about it. I remember the day I could show Dan, my new now business partner from Tap Out, a guy in a Diepic shirt over the Dubai Islands. I still have goosebumps right now just thinking about it. You know, it's this no-name kid from Trenton, New Jersey, and now all of a sudden I see my shirt on the beautiful shot of all of Dubai, a guy skydiving. I'm like, whoa, this is real. And that wasn't because of a huge ad spend budget. I'm no one famous. Just going out and building that tribe with a slow roll, the snowball down the hill.
I think the ultimate would be seeing Norm the Gnome
yes.
with a t-shirt. Diepic t-shirt.
I like it. Hey, I'm the one that wants to start Norm with a month calendar. So, hey, I'm
oh, there you go. Yeah, that would be something.
I'd buy the Norm subscription box, get a new sticker every month of a gnome doing something cool. See? Just
there
something,
you go.
Something
oh,
like
man.
That.
And, you know, not that... I'm just thinking, where are you getting the stickers from? Hashtag Andrea Lee.
Exactly. I swear she should pay me to say this, but no, she does not. She just has the, you know, because I my favorite things, I do a lot of mentoring. I love the day, what like when you try to find a mentor, your day one, everyone will just blow you off. You know, I love being the only guy that's willing to help the startups that have nothing because I can tell them, hey, go buy $100 in stickers and start there. You know, go get some traction, go get your hashtag used. Don't worry about sales day one, build that following. Social media pages are free. And, you know, one of the keys to my success was, you know, I remember when, now do not do this. I was on a Clubhouse yesterday saying, do not do this, do not do this, do not do this. But we all remember those Instagram bots, right? If you did them right in the beginning, this is where, you know, I'm just one person. It's kind of like when you're fishing, you have the bobber hit, and then you come take over. I would reach out to people using certain hashtags or influencers, and I would do a really heartfelt message. It wasn't a bunch of emoji spam, you know, really heartfelt message, and it would get people to reply. And then that was it. I took over and I could start one-on-one engaging these people. And so I ended up making like 100 Instagram accounts. I made, you know, Instagram accounts for, you know, maybe skydive chicks versus motorcycle dudes versus, you know, scuba divers and everything else. But that was all just kind of promoting, doing anything I could to get one-to-one with adrenaline junkies that were kind of interested. From there, you know, again, I know there's a lot of Shopify and Amazon people, but in general, I'm a big Shopify guy. It's way too easy now that they have these affiliate or ambassador tools. I'm good buddies with the founder of Reversion, which is a Shopify app I use. I've used Lead Dino in the past, which is nice and cheap. But these are just simple tools. If you have a Shopify site, you pay a small monthly fee, and then they take care of all that headache for you. They will give you the promo codes for unique promo codes per person or unique links. For example, I would give Norm here, diepic.com/Norm. So now if he shares that and brings me the new people, new eyes, of course, I would pay out a small cut. So this is another part of that first phase. Once you have enough revenue to be able to afford it, because you will lose some money, you know, you maybe lose 15, 20% of every sale. But if you have an established brand, you really make your customers happy, they're going to keep coming back. So you can make more money on the lifetime of the customer. So that's another.
What are the two apps that you were talking about? And we'll put them in the show notes.
So I have Reversion, and that one's a little bit more expensive, kind of like enterprise grade Reversion, Reversion. Lead Dino is cheaper. I know Andrea, she has one she's a big fan of that she just swapped to. I can ask her, I think it was like AF Pro or something. I'll have to ask her. But you can go on Shopify Marketplace, for example, and just type in, you know, affiliate type programs. The one thing I did learn is it was a very, very bad jump going from Lead Dino to Reversion. And let me explain why. Those unique links are baked into some influencers' YouTube videos they made 5 years ago and they want to get paid on. So do a lot of research before you jump in bed with one of these app programs, because it is you don't want to be the person to tell 2,000 ambassadors, hey, bad news, all your links are gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, you dropped a nugget just a little while ago, and I think we did it so quickly, but it's so important. is the pre-sale. So I'll get questions on, I don't have a, my Amazon is, my Amazon product's on the water. Why should I do any social media, or why should I do a press release? Why should I create a Shopify account? And this is all pre-launch. You want to be the authority. You want to be, build trust, you know, and like you said, just build out those hashtags and get some content on it. I know, like, even with what we're doing, you know, so podcasts, it's still, we're trying to get out there. Kelsey just, you know, had to get the word out, and we had no content, zero content, but it was a pre-launch, just like, you know, if you've got an Amazon product that you're selling, I like during launch, the pre-launch period could be a month back. It could be 2 weeks. But if you just launch a product and say, hey, today I'm selling garden gnomes, who the heck's going to know? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And at least if you have that, you know, going for you, people will know that you're selling, because they'll type it in, and you can drive traffic over to your site. Mm-hmm. Oh, and here's Connie with more coffee.
No, I'll take some too. Connie,
this is my buddy Daniel. There we go.
Hello.
Oh, she is waving. She's off camera.
That's awesome.
You'll have to meet her one day.
I know.
But she won't smoke a cigar with us.
But don't worry. My Julie's in there. She's like, I can't wait for this to be over. So I go talk to Norm. So don't worry. She wants me off this so she can hang out with you.
Well, and she'll smoke a cigar with us. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that, because pre-launch is so bloody important. And it's just something that nobody really talks about.
Yep.
And you don't have to spend thousands of dollars, but you have to be, and here's another topic we can talk about, consistency. Mm-hmm. You have to be brand consistent, right?
Yep.
Like with Diepic, mm-hmm. I'm sure that you don't have people, you know, bastardizing your logo. It's Diepic. It's that font. You probably have that spelled out. I mean, if people put it on their body and they want to do Helvetica, okay, well, what can you say? But your logo is not something you play with. It's consistent. Is that true?
Actually, well, funny you should say that.
Okay. You're gonna make me turn red, and I'm wrong.
No. So what part of my, like, I like to give company. It's hard to turn companies to make them seem like a person, right? That's the thing. We have these cold companies, ones and zeros, profits, loss spreadsheets, and I do like to make companies, you know, more lifelike, more, you know, that's how you build my tribe. So the reason I say this is not, well, I guess it's kind of funny. We'll call it ironic maybe. So just like yesterday was April Fool's Day. So I can go to, I'll tell you at the end of this, all the fun stuff our brand did for April Fool's Day. But we, on our little skull, which I think you can see behind me, we put a Joker hat. And so we'll update our website just like Google. You know, why reinvent the wheel? I know Google knows what they're doing. So we have our cute skull with a Lady Liberty crown. We have the American top hat. All these cool, fun things. And the reason I bring that up is when people get that tattoo, sometimes they Google Diepic, the tattoo artist, and they tattoo the wrong one. They'll tattoo.
Oh no!
I've seen it on the hashtag Diepic, and I don't ever want to call them out or tell them. And I just, because you'll see on like hashtag Diepic tattoos, you'll see that some of these themed Diepic logos, and I just get like, oh man, I don't know what to say. But that's the only bastardization that's an interesting problem that we have. But I do like to do that because it keeps it fun. It lets people know you're a real live brand. There's people behind it, and it's not just a cold, profit-driven only, you know, they don't care about their customer type of brand. They're more comfortable giving, you know, their credit card to someone they see is so updated and cute that it even has a weekly logo change.
Right. And I can see doing that. No problem. Oh, and by the way, take a look in the comments and see if you know anybody in there.
Oh, I think I saw Chris pop up.
Yep.
There's that troublemaker.
Yeah.
He's in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. We've got to promise us he'll come down on his boat. But, and I did see a comment come in about April Fool's. So I got to bring this one up. And okay. You guys are the first to see this. Whoever's on this live is the first to see this. So one thing you shouldn't do is build a crazy tribe and then piss them all off, right? Well, guess what I did yesterday? For fun, we do this. We troll a little bit. It's our one day a year we're allowed to troll, right? It's April Fool's. So we had a big sweepstakes where you had to guess how many items were in a jar. And you either want a brand new sealed GoPro or you get a very hefty, big gift card for our site, so you can buy a bunch of stuff. So, Norman, let me ask you, would you take the very expensive brand new GoPro or would you take the merchandise? What do you think you would do if you won the prize today?
I think I'd take the GoPro. Sorry.
You would think, you think you would do that, but I clearly said it's a sealed brand new GoPro. And this is a 35 millimeter sealed, the first original 1996 maybe hand strap GoPro. So I today have the fun job of going on live and breaking to the winner like, yeah, here you go. Where should I ship it? So this is a fun, once you have a tribe, you can do fun stuff like this. So yeah. The funny, I've done this a couple of years in a row. I found the last person who had these and I bought as many as I possibly could. They're probably gonna be worth more money now, but sometimes people love it. They're like, oh my God, that's such a cool relic of the adrenaline world. That started the whole industry of like adrenaline sports on camera. So they want it.
So how many people did you tick off?
I don't know. We'll see today. As soon as I'm done this, that's my, I'm not excited for that bullet point. The good news is I tell people, hey, good news is you won, but it's April Fool's. And I do warn, now that we're growing on this sweepstakes, I do put, hey, international fans, please know this is a day of pranks. They don't go home empty handed. They'll get $100, $200 in gift cards. So it's, they're happy, but it's, you got to have some fun.
Right. Yeah. No, agree. All right. Let's talk about some action steps. What can people do? What are the first things that they can do to start building up that tribe? What are the action steps that people can take away from this podcast?
Perfect. So you probably do it for free. There are software to help track your hashtag. And I'm a big fan of AppSumo.com. If you're
love it.
Love it. I know they are the, actually it's funny. One of your websites, the book of calendar is the same one I use, which, cause it's, if you don't know about AppSumo.com, it is lifetime deals to software. You know, I guess I'm aging myself, but I remember when you just buy software, you owned it, heaven forbid. Now everyone's at $200 fee, which adds up if you're starting out your brand new brand. So my term is don't get sassed to death, software as a service. So check out AppSumo.com and you can go in there and type in like usually social media or hashtag, and you can find some pretty cheap lifetime software. Maybe every other month they'll have one on there that will help you track your hashtags. And again, I don't care if you're selling fans or surfboards, you really have to keep track of that because there are going to be fans that are going to use that. And if they're not using it, I actually blame you. You know, I blame the owner of the business because why not? Again, I'm a big fan of, now I do sell a physical product. I have some really cool cards that I put in. And I had one card which kind of spoke to the brand. Well, one side was a concussion checklist. And because again, I actually really care about my customers, unlike some of my competitors. So this was a checklist that you could keep it in your gym bag, throw it in your locker at high school. And if you take a hard football hit, you could kind of see self-diagnose of, hey, I should get to the hospital because, you know, my customers do, you know, get hit in the head a lot, whether they're doing their fun sports. So just recently for this Black Friday, I saw the local print shop had those cards on sale, 5,000 of them for maybe 100, 200 bucks. And I took the second one. On the front, I put a QR code. I put a real cute little rescue dog. You've probably seen him, Flanagan. So I put a cute cartoon of me and Flanagan. I thank them for supporting small independent brands. And I put a QR code that says save $5. Now, as soon as they hit that, brings them to Shopify, where I have a coupon code linked to that. I have a collection of just my favorite products. It takes $5 off that. And to kind of go deeper end, you know, tactical here, now I can even, I can retarget them differently. You're making your average cart size go up. You're hitting a lot of KPIs. And after 1 week of having this, you know, $200 for 5,000 business cards, it already paid for itself in, you know, new orders because you're tracking that, you know, unique promo code. And you can even target them different. And another really cool tip, this one I actually am stealing. This is a great tip I heard from Maxwell Finn. He's out in Florida as well. And speaking of retargeting to customers have already purchased, video views are very cheap, especially with ads, you know, on Facebook. Why not make a video just for people who just purchased and don't sell anything? Thank them for supporting. Let them see the owner or founder. You know, thank them again. Let them know the process. Like some of my stuff, I have one product. It's a pre-order. It literally takes 3 months for us to make it. And no one ever bitches. We tell them, and it's a really cool product. But this video, so maybe your product takes a month to get to people. This video could explain that. The factory, show pictures of the factory, humanize the brand, and don't sell anything. And our buddy Maxwell Finn, who is doing this, says that outsells some of his actual ads, which are trying to sell things. It comes off so organic and so nice that at top of the funnel, top of the head, people see the ad. And people instantly will click to that with, and don't need a coupon code, whatever, and just go buy more stuff.
So, okay, just so I'm following this. Somebody goes in, they buy a product.
Mm-hmm.
The product arrives. Is it a QR code that's there or a link or whatever? And they hit the link mm-hmm. and then it just basically goes to a thank you video.
Well, two parts. Two parts. So that card has, you know, hit this QR code for $5 off, mm-hmm. brings them. So that link now has embedded $5 off on a certain collection called Founder's Favorite. And people go and they now can see my personal favorite 10, 20 items, and then they'll save $5 on them. So that's, you know, one way to help your cart size and be, you know, be there. The other thing, which is very similar and about the same time, you actually could even do this as in tandem, is why not take $100 a month of your budget? You know, if you're a small brand, you know, if you're a huge brand, of course, maybe $100,000, but create a video, just you and a camera. Hey, if you've got a, like, you know, your dog's always around, my dog's always around, you know, how do a cute video, just thanking people, showing them maybe behind the scenes of the factory, who you are, who your pets are, what you like, maybe talk about charities you support, but don't sell anything. And maybe explain the process, what it's like to get their product. And once someone has purchased from your site, Facebook then, of course, will fire that, the pixel will fire, letting them know, okay, this person converted. It'll show them that video, and video views are very cheap. They're not like Facebook has the conversion outcome, which of course is way more expensive. That's where Facebook's trying to sell you stuff. But just have a video that, you know, if it's not for you doing this, someone's going to see an ad for a competitor, which is not a great experience. So how cool would it be to buy something? And then next thing you know, like, I don't know the CEO of this pen or my phone or this GoPro, but if they did this, I would know who they are. I would know their story and I would fall for that tribe, or, you know, be more likely to join their tribe.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a cool approach. All right. Well, yeah, I like that. I got to talk to you a little bit more about that because it's pretty cool. But it also, you can also, and probably it depends. I mean, if you're talking about chair glides, this wouldn't apply. But on that insert card, you could also just put, you know, tag me for or tag me, and you could start using their content too, right?
Yep, so, exactly. And that's a big mistake I see with brands. And I learned this early. A lot of anytime we do a sweepstakes contest, whatever, the first thing I do is it's our products. And the reason being is there was some really cool software out there that would help you go viral with sweepstakes, but people would use the mistake of like doing iPads. People who don't give a rat's butt about your product will absolutely put some burner email in to get a free iPad.
Right.
So now your list is thrown off, your pixel fires are thrown off, you're retargeting the wrong people, it's a headache. But if it's your actual product, you're way more, you know, then that's like, okay, well, this person's close. They're somewhere in my funnel. They have a little bit of interest about our brand. So that's something that worked, you know, making that shift, you know, worked really well when it comes to sweepstakes. And then the other thing we do is just like, you know, instead of just doing generic out of the hat, like you do, tag a friend, or for us, we like to do people on our hashtag, you know, because that using our hashtag helps us spread so much. Mm-hmm. If I do have a gift card to give away, instead of giving to a random email address, let me go say, hey, we're going to use a random number generator and pick a random hashtag user. Just really kind of like no different than when you're training a dog. You know, you want to give them good things for behaving and helping you. It's the same thing. They're helping us. And I'd much rather give my money to them than give my company some cold billboard company that it's cool to give money, you know, right back to your customers.
You know, I was thinking about that little coupon code that you have about concussions. I guess one of the tips that you could put there, probably the biggest tip you could probably put about concussions, is if they're hiding their own Easter eggs. You know, no, you know, it's Easter. I thought I'd
put it in. I liked it.
Okay. So again, we were just talking about the gift card hashtag. I want Daniel, tag two friends and you'll be entered twice. And it's for a $100 gift card at Diepic. So I think it's pretty cool. Also, Kelsey, are there any questions?
Yeah, we had a couple questions come in. One was about the video that you're explaining. So hi, is this video to go on Facebook or Amazon?
For my scenario, this was on Facebook ads, just because that's where I know you can advertise very cheap and you can laser focus on people who just converted. You can even choose the time frame. So if you really want to get good, and I mean, some people, if you're a big enough brand, you know exactly when that product will be there. How cool would it be to just time it right? And you're not going to get it right 100% of the time, but if you know on average your product gets to hands 2 weeks later, you can say, anyone here, hey, Facebook, anyone who converted on my website 2 weeks from now, show them this video. And again, video views are very cheap there.
Nice.
Hey, and Chris has a comment. Dan's 100% right on that. You have to promote your brand, nothing else. People who use models or other distractions from the actual product are doing themselves a disservice. So, and let me see. We have a question about SparkToro. Have you ever used SparkToro?
No, but I'm going to write that down. I love tools.
Oh, so. My gosh.
Which one's this?
Oh, this is actually from a past guest that was on Rand Fishkin. He was the co-founder of Moz.
Yep. I know him.
Yep. So this is his new project.
SparkToro is his new platform. And Kelsey, you got to remind me. I got to get onto that. But it's pretty cool. It really dives in and shows you what the audience is. It just rips apart everything. But it's perfect for influencer marketing.
Okay, so that's interesting. So does it tell you, I keep thinking of the Facebook audience insight tool. Is this where it tells you what other things that your tribe is into? Is that kind of what it does or no?
No, it tells you more of the demographic of the person, who the influencers are. It just dive, like, let's say that you were to pull up you. Mm-hmm. I could find out who you're following, who the influencers are, dive deep into your demographic. Just great. Check it out. It is worth it. It's very inexpensive. And I don't know if it's inexpensive because it's just launched. But Rand did a great job with this.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. And I know I just mentioned it, but I should really kind of pull that nugget out. Once you have enough Facebook fans, mm-hmm. And again, things like that are, you know, instead of trying to sell 100 shirts day one, maybe just make the KPI of like, hey, how can I get 100 fans on Facebook or 1,000 fans on Facebook? But once you get your numbers high enough, and they think this is a recent change because of all the privacy issues Facebook's been getting into, please, people don't do this, and I have to holler at them. Check out Facebook in their business tools section, Audience Insight Manager, I believe it's called. And that is a great tool. It will literally tell you, hey, we grab your entire tribe, the people who love your Facebook page. Yeah, we know they like you, but did you know that they also like 5/11 tactical shirts? Or maybe they like a certain band. Maybe they like, because you, what college they go to. I mean, it gives you a lot of information that averages out all of your following, and it'll tell you which other ones, will match. So my top influencer, when Facebook sees it, of course, there's something ridiculous like, oh, the affinity score is like 1,000 off the charts because we work so closely already together. But that is a great tool because not only can you find influencers, if the list you see there, some of those you can even advertise to. Like some brands you can't. There is, you know, to get deep into the pool here, Real Tactical, you actually, there's a Chrome app that will overlay this free Facebook Insight Audience Manager tool, and it'll highlight which ones you can advertise against and which ones you can't. So picking on, let's say Tap Out's my competitor, and so is 5/11 Tactical. I don't know who at Facebook decides which of these brands you can advertise against, but one of them you can, and this Chrome app will actually help you find those. So you want to talk about sniping. Like, this is really how you build your tribe.
Kelsey, did you know about that?
No, I didn't.
Should.
I charge extra, so I'll just send you this one.
What was the name of the Chrome app?
The Chrome app, I have it right here in my Chrome. Let me see if I can get it was called Interest Highlighter for Audience Insights. So
Interest Highlighter for Audience Insights. Okay, Kels, make sure you mark that one down for the audience as well. And also the actual tool was Facebook.
The Audience Insight tool. Yeah, Audience Insight tool. And I'll tell you, if you really want to have some fun, before you do that, you should write down a list of what you think it is, because I was wrong. You know, I didn't think like Orange County Choppers, people who love that, and I love that show. I'm like, why didn't I think about that? I love that old TV show. And that was a huge affinity score that tool reported.
Interesting. Okay. Kelsey, I see something from Brawn.
Yep. Let's see. So the only product I'm selling is a conversion card game or conversation card game. Should I have a sweepstakes prize of a bundle of my card games?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I just see so many people who do, and you learn from my mistakes, please. So there was that's it. Gleam.io. So Gleam.io was, I'm dating myself. This might be 3-4 years ago. They were a really good sweepstakes tool where it would ask you for your email address and maybe you'd have them take an action. Once they did that, they would say, okay, great. Now, if you want 3 extra, entries in this contest, share it on Facebook. And because of APIs, it would make sure you did that. Then Twitter, then Snapchat. It was amazing. But then, again, I call them Gleam holes. They were full-time just Gleam filler outers of forms. They wanted nothing to do with the products. They didn't care. They just sat in Gleam all day. They knew what hashtags to look for, and they would just find the contest and just do their emails. And if they won once a month, it was worth their time. And who knows what country they were in. So like a good prize can last you if you sell it, lasts a long time in some countries. So I learned that lesson the hard way. It ruined my list, ruined my Pixel Fires. And I never in my life thought there'd be full-time sweepstakes appliers. Definitely use your products.
Do you use Viper?
I have heard of that one. No, I haven't used that one. Yeah. Which is that same thing kind of similar to Gleam, I think, or no?
Well, it's a contest app, so it very easily can do that. Landing pages. Anyways, Viper, I think it's VYPR. Mm-hmm. You can check that out. But also, one that are coming back from AppSumo, KingSumo. Mm-hmm. KingSumo does all sorts of contests, and very similar to what you were talking about. Go and get, 3 people, get an extra entry. Mm-hmm. So I know that's one that we do use. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's see. Is there any other questions, Kels?
No, that's it for now. All right. But yeah, if you have any questions, put them in the comment section. And
big mistakes. What are the big mistakes that people make when they build a tribe?
Ooh. I just had one and I'm trying to think what it was.
You never make mistakes.
Yeah, right. Why do you think my hair is so gray? I'm proud of my gray hair. It's like, because I work with a lot of UFC fighters. They've got that nasty cauliflower ear. Well, I'm like, that's why I like my gray hair. I'll never dye it. I am proud of my mistakes. So I went over the Gleam one. Maybe that was the one I had off the top of my head. Because I know I had one coming into the call, and that Gleam one was a big mistake. Who would have ever thought that was a full-time job, just filling out random surveys? I see a lot of people, one thing they do really wrong is, and it makes my blood boil, is they repost people's content without permission, or they haven't asked, and then they take ads out again. And now you just took your top fan and you upset them. So please don't do that. People will basically steal content, and I'm not talking about reposting and citing them and shouting them out, all stuff, but people will literally just take photos from Instagram. And that just makes my blood boil. You get in deep trouble for it. And I've seen brands, do that. It's not the right way to go.
So what you're talking about, just in case you don't know, let's say you go onto Instagram and you see somebody who's posted a picture, and you just take that picture and you decide that you're going to post it in your account, and you don't say anything about it, or you haven't reached out, or you don't give a shout out, there's going to be a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's, and then to think that you had such a, and then it's important too, because, again, I already talked about the apps that I use to do affiliate programs. I'll work with them and I'll say, hey, you have a great photo. I want to repost it, but I care so much about you. I don't want them coming to my link. So let's work on a promo code, or I'll say, follow you up. My call to action won't be, it'll to go by. I'll be, hey, go follow this person. That way they can nurture that lead with their great photo. Because I really want my affiliates to succeed. Let's see. And the more our affiliates succeed, the more we do great. That actually just hit me. I did a little road trip out to Las Vegas to where we have our buddies, their biggest influencers, got like this big, like Die Epic themed mansion. And I pull up and it's all the UFC fighters that are fighting that night. And one just won. They have all these exotic cars. And I'm just sitting there in the parking lot, almost cry, just sitting there looking at all these exotic cars. And I help these guys, I help them, they help me. And I just sat there, almost cried, just so proud of our working together. And, once a rising tide raises all the boats, that was when that saying hit me in person.
Wow. Okay. Any other mistakes that you can think of right now?
Oh, man. Now you got me on the spot. I'll be, in an hour, I'll be like, oh, I had a good one. So mistakes with tribe building. I think the reason I didn't make a, we all know the book, The Lean Startup, I believe it is, yep. where it's all about asking a lot of questions versus like saying what you think the right idea is. I believe that's what kind of helped me, because why I made less mistakes, because I would ask, you know, once you get a tribe very small growing, again, just think of Instagram. I mean, yes, it's a way, everyone knows it as a place to put out to the masses, and I get it. And that works for a lot of people, but you also can sniper. I can get one-to-one conversations with streamers. One-to-one conversation with strangers that are my customers, and ask them, "Hey, what should I sell? Hey, should I do this logo in red or green?" And people just forget about that. They just think Instagram. Okay, put a virtual assistant on it. They'll post one photo a day. They go. You know, it is the greatest tool, because that hashtag will help you take it from a billion people down to your, you know, small tribe. Now you can one-to-one reach out to them. Ask them what products to sell. Ask them if they'll join your affiliate program. And it's not trying to brag. It's using the Lean Startup method is because I'm too dumb to know the right answers. I just ask a lot of questions, you know, like, hey, should I sell this shirt and what color? And that's why we made less mistakes maybe than other people that thought they knew exactly what their customers wanted.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the print-on-demand industry. Mm-hmm. I know we're talking about building a tribe, but you are a master of it. So. Let's talk about Amazon merch, okay, mm-hmm. for example. How are you finding Amazon merch? Should people get into it? Can you make money on Amazon merch? Mm-hmm. What are
your thoughts? Good question. So it's actually funny. I'm running a clubhouse in like 1 hour on print on demand, which at the end, if you're interested, I'll tell you how to get to that. But I use a couple print on demand companies. Now, I personally like ones that hook up to my Shopify. That's just because I have my Shopify. That's my central nervous system. And then you can, my Amazon store can talk to that and everything else. If you are Amazon, you know, first, I think the print on demand is great there. So Andrea Lake, who I've already mentioned, she had so many designs because she filled out stores like, I think it was like Spencer's, where all of her designs. How great is it with Amazon merch where you can go and just upload your designs, which costs zero, and then you can go ahead and, you know, get money from when they sell. So I personally, the reason, again, I use Shopify is I'm very, as I've said 10 times, let's call Amazon or Facebook pixel fires. I do like collecting that data on my own Shopify site. So I get the Facebook pixel fires. I get their email. I can do all my little tricks and postcards and cute stuff. So I'm more using vendors like Custom Cat, T-Launch, you know, different ones like that where they print on demand, but they do, it's a Shopify app.
Okay, very good. All right. So again, on print on demand, people here are trying to make money different ways. You talked about custom designs, putting them up onto Amazon. Is there any tricks that you have to do to get a product listed on Amazon or even on Shopify that can drive sales?
No, I will say, you know, a lot of people like to go out there and kind of lie to sell courses, we all know. And they'll tell you how easy it is. But I'm actually telling the opposite. It's actually getting harder. Back in the day, if you were the first to put, you could just use hashtags and a good description on Amazon merch. You have a really unique niche, like maybe the pug dog lovers, you know, something like that. Amazon did have enough traffic where you actually just go rank sales without doing anything. But in my personal professional does this for a living, it's now tougher where you do need to build a brand. You do need to have the tribe. So yes, it's great that you can put designs up there on print on demand and sell them. But you know, 6 years ago, again, I told you guys, I was using Instagram bot and making money. Now that those days are long gone and do not right. do that. But you just have to get ready to do a little work, but it's so worth it once you build that brand or your tribe.
And you have a course on getting into the t-shirt business, right? Why don't we talk about that for a sec?
Yep. So it's it gets cut off there, but it's teacher with two E's because we sell t-shirts. So TEEACHER.com. I think we even have t-shirtjunkie.com. So as mentioned, it's four of us, over $1 billion in t-shirt sales, and I'm very proud to be the low man on the totem pole. The cool thing that Andrea really surprised me, she started this week. So Andrea Lake, again, had the rights to Call of Duty, Walking Dead. I mean, every video game, movie, all the big ones, all used her. She called me this week, told me, Dan, the founder of Tap Out, always be Griff from Combat Flip Flops, and said, we're going to do daily clubhouses at 2 p.m. Eastern every single Monday through Friday. And my jaw at the floor. I'm like, wait, what are we doing? Yeah. So she just woke up and said, and all for free, people come on there. And I'm a little bitter that I didn't have this resource like 6 years ago where I could talk to $1 billion, you know, sellers for free. But yeah, on Clubhouse, we are doing this. And now, of course, it depends on our schedules. Like I, for example, can't do Mondays and everything else, but it is an amazing place to hop on there. 2 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. And at least one of us, or sometimes there's five of us. We saw the other day, I saw the Roots lead singer was in our Clubhouse. Like, it just cracks me up how much, you know, we had amazing people from huge brands that were in there. Everyone just sharing tips, asking questions. So it's a really cool experience. And I will say it's, I made a short URL. So if you're writing this down, it's shirt.tips/club. So that's my little short URL. And that'll bring you right to our Clubhouse room if you're on iOS. And I'm Mr. Android. I'm sorry, Android users. I hate it too. But Clubhouse is iOS only. It kills me.
Okay. And that's kind of cool. So if you are interested in it, check out that course. I don't know if there's any questions. I thought I saw one other one that came down.
We got three that came in.
Okay.
Or four, actually. All right. All at one time. So again, back to the sweepstakes from Bronwyn. Thanks, Daniel. I want to give sweepstake prizes to genuine customers. Does Sumo and King Sumo filter out the gleamers?
Ugh. Do you know that, Norman? I don't know.
King Sumo's, I would say, is the same as the app that you're using, yeah, where you enter your email address and then you do whatever. You can get a certain number of entries afterwards if you share it to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So if you're using the hashtags in the post, people could probably search through and enter your contest either way. Like, there's still the risk of having it not a specific, your specific customers, because I think most people will do like their brand, hashtag their brand contest or game contest or board game contest. So if people are searching that hashtag and entering your contest, then they're just going to be, they might not be specifically your customer.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. You want to put up a little bit of a wall. So for example, don't use hashtag sweepstakes. Like, I know, you know, don't do things that are going to bring the masses in.
Right.
And with that gleam.io, I think they had their own short URL. It was either they would automatically put a gleam hashtag in there, or they would automatically put a gleam short URL. And that's how these full-time gleamers would just go and then just find them all. Wow. So that, I think you'd want to test your sweepstakes and make sure it's 100%, you control all the content, make sure there's no hashtags that people can link it to other contests.
Yeah, I think King Sumo, there's an option where you can post it, your contest, to King Sumo. So you might not want to do that, because I'm sure people will just go on King Sumo and just scroll through. So when we do a contest, I never press that option because I feel like it's just watering down your entries. But okay, next, this is from Clive. Which platforms would you suggest, or start with, Daniel?
That's a kind of, as far as platforms, are they talking like Shopify, Amazon, or do you think that's more like apps? What do you guys think that would be?
I think that's more social.
Social media, how would you start?
Great question. And it, you're not going to like my answer. Wherever your audience hangs out. And now let me explain. You know, my demo is a 25 to 35, which is Instagram. And that's, you know, I really am blessed that I'm my target customer. That wasn't done on purpose. And I hang on Instagram. I hate TikTok. So even though I feel bad, I go on TikTok and I type in Diepic. Someone already has my user handle. The hashtag Diepic has like 70,000, 100,000 views on TikTok. I'm like, I don't have a login. So you got to find out where your audience hangs out. And so if you know the age, that usually helps too. For example, let's talk Facebook ads again. There's an option for right-hand column. And if you're selling to my demographic, 25 to 35 or younger, do not advertise there. I've never gotten a return. None of my entrepreneur mastermind groups, people that in my demographic, have never made money on those. The older demographic, if you're going after my parents, they do look over there. So again, that just shows the behavior. You got to find out where your customer hangs out. And that's why I keep picking on that Facebook audience insight tool, because they will tell your demographic and you can kind of learn where they hang out.
All right.
Okay, cool. Along the similar lines from Chris, what was your process to start building your audience for your tribe?
Nice. Actually, I think Chris, I've seen you rocking some Dynamic shirts, Chris, so you should know this, but no, yeah, of course, you know, the hashtag, I know I keep beating it over and over again, using tools, I'm a data guy, so see where they hang out. And I'm going to pick on Chris right now because he can't talk back. So one of my funniest tips is imagine seeing the back of a Jeep Wrangler. Like Chris, you know, he has this really cool Jeep Wrangler. Now, whenever we all think of like an overlander off-roader, what happens in the back of a Jeep Wrangler? It's covered in bumper stickers. So this is just like audience insight tool. Because you get, you know, if you know your customer, what bumper stickers would your customers put on the back of their you know, vehicle? That's the mentality you have to get in. You have to get in the shoes of your tribe, see how they talk, what they like, what bumper stickers they put on, because then you can cater your ads to them. You can go sign up to email subscriptions to those companies you think will be on the bumpers and see how they talk, what's their vernacular, what's their tonality. And I will say this is the wildest tip I heard today on this topic was someone on Reddit was talking about they had to do copywriting for an industry they didn't know. So they went to Amazon. They went to the book section of Amazon and they found books that dealt in this topic. Let's say construction law, whatever it was. They went to the reviews, found the good reviews that were very helpful, which is an Amazon, you know, there's a little icon shows you how helpful it was. Look for the ones with big paragraphs, would read them and copy and paste different vernacular or words that industry or niche would use and then use that on emails. Huh. That's brilliant.
That is. I've never heard of that.
I learned that today. I cannot take credit from it. That came from Reddit. And I started the first thing I read, I got to go on Reddit early morning and I just sent that to every copywriter I know. I'm like, this is such a great tip. And if you go to reddit.com, it probably was the R copywriting. You can probably see that recent post and get all the details on it.
All right. So if you wanted to follow up on something like that, here's how you can do it very easily. You install the Helium 10 Chrome extension, and you can go and you can get the review extractor. You extract all the reviews, and then you can see and you can read, you know, exactly like you said, the most popular reviews, the 4-star reviews, the 5-star reviews, the 1-star reviews, and you can get that copy. And it'll tell you what are the most common words that are used. Mm-hmm. So that is really a great tip for writing copy. I've never even thought of it, and the answer was right there. So another reason to use Helium 10.
Yep.
Okay, and we got two more questions. Yep. And I think then we're good because we're over an hour now. For Brian, do any of your print-on-demand services offer custom laser wood etching?
They do. I'm looking at my business partner, Andrew, come to my apartment. She's just borderline embarrassed how much of my own merch is on the walls. Like I'm literally a walking print-on-demand commercial. So I'm looking around. Now, you can't choose the products, but it's tlaunch.com. They offer wood cutting boards that they can put your logo on. And I did it as almost a joke. I even made like a cook epic, not a joke, but like just, it was a filler product. It wasn't something I was like super proud of. It wasn't the top product in a new, you know, new product newsletter, put it that way. And once again, I'm wrong. It was a hit with firehouses. How cool is it that all the firemen who live by the live legendary die epic mantra can now in their firehouses have the die epic cooking or cutting board or whatever it is. Huh. So that is an example of a T-Launch pod there. And then I have a really big sign hanging up that's in wood that was hand engraved. Here's another really cool hint. I like to go to Etsy. I like to go on Etsy, find little vendors. And there's actually a gentleman, I think I found through my influencer named Chris McCauley that does the wooden American flags hand engraved. And so basically we kind of made a print on demand type of deal with him. So besides all the big companies and platforms I'm mentioning, you can get creative. If you go to an artist who's probably not selling off the shelves yet, they need someone like you to, you know, make a deal where you can, you know, it's a perfect, you drop ship it, they're happy, everyone wins.
Very good. Question about that. How do you get them all together? If you've got one platform and you've got multiple other platforms, person over here at Etsy, they go to your site. Mm-hmm. How do you get them to talk to each other?
Yeah, the real pain is honestly shipping. That's where I still, like, I feel like I'm a dinosaur because I charge shipping on my website. And that's just, you know, showing you all, you know, full transparency behind the cards because I have so many print-on-demand factories. If you are not careful with print-on-demand or if you don't have a really good repeat customer rate, you can get burned because someone will, you know what's going to happen. You'll have six factories you work with or vendors. Someone orders six things and everyone is a different factor and you're paying, you know, shipping on every single one.
Yeah.
So that's where, that is literally why I do charge a small shipping fee. I do that thank you card because now if I, maybe I got burned on that, but then when they buy the next thing, you know, I'll make better margin on that. And you kind of have to be smart about it. There's a lot of apps that will help you boost up your average cart size. In those apps, it's just common sense. You know, lazy people don't do this, but you should really say, well, if you buy, let's say, this phone and this phone cover, I know is the same factory, link those products. So when someone puts this in their cart, they see that. If some people, they're too busy to do that, and then they're getting burned on shipping because people are buying all the wrong items.
One of the things that we do when we're doing product sourcing is we consolidate. So, you know, we might get five different samples and it'll end up costing you $300 or $400 to get them all sent over. Can you do that with print on demand and using these different companies, consolidate in one location?
Sort of.
Yeah. You can save some shipping.
Yeah. So how, again, just being fully transparent here. So I'm of course in Miami and, they have a factory about 45 minutes away and there, that's where the majority of my shirts are printed. So I just made a deal with them. Again, you got to think outside the box. You know, people get, they obsess with these print on demand companies because it's so easy. It's just a click. But there is no putting stickers in envelopes or thank you cards. So if you go to someone local, no different than my Etsy thing, just reach out, say, here's what I want to do. I can guarantee I'll do good sales. I know you print shirts, but can I pay you $2 to throw little tchotchkes in the bag if someone buys something else or a skydiving part? And of course they'll say yes, because that's almost helping them boost their average cart value.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. So a majority, you know, even though they just technically are silk screeners and vinyl printers there, they do my gym bags, my, you know, fulfill my hats, my skydiving parts. Then the print on demand began because of shipping and there's lower margin. I use those for fringe items and to test. See these skateboards behind me? These are print on demand. I'm telling you, my apartment is, it's hilarious. From this cup I'm drinking out of, everything is print on demand. So I like it more for the fringe products or to test. If it hits big, then you go use the resources to buy in bulk and then fulfill and get better margins.
Very good. All right, Kels.
Okay, last question from Chris. Dan, when are you creating a Die Epic coin we can YOLO into?
Oh, man. Yeah, good old crypto. I mean, the big thing now for t-shirt brands is NFTs, and I'm not a big fan of them because I'm a kind of old school crypto purist, but a lot of brands are being very successful with these NFT non-fungible tokens. Taco Bell released them and they instantly sold out. Logan Paul, and today was the worst or best example yet. Tiger King now has an NFT. So that's actually a good question, Chris. A lot of brands are doing very well by offering NFTs right now. It's like a hot craze. I just haven't done it yet.
Very good. All right, sir. Well, I think it's getting to that time.
Wah, wah.
I think it is.
I wish I could stay later.
no problem. But it is time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
Ooh. All right, here we go.
It's time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
All right.
All right.
Here we go. Who's going to win?
Okay, so this is for a $100 gift card to Die Epic.
Very cool.
And let's go. 3, 2, 1. I'll give it a quick shuffle.
Hopefully that Daniel that's on there is not you, Daniel.
Oh, this is a cool tool. Wheelofnames.com. I like it.
All right. Clive.
Clive.
All right, Clive.
All right. Okay, so okay. How does Clive claim his prize, Kels?
So Clive can email me at k@lunchwithnorm.com and we'll get you set up there. I'll connect you with Daniel. Oh, Daniel, you can send me the code or perfect. However you want to do it, and then we'll figure it out.
Awesome. Perfect. Congrats, Daniel. Clive. Thank you so much, everyone. This is amazing.
No, I really appreciate it. We've been trying to get you on for a long time. So, yeah, I really do appreciate you coming on to the show today. You've got the Clubhouse I don't know if you can give Kelsey that, and we'll post it in the comments so people can go and listen to
right
you.
Right here.
Oh, it is. There it is. Yeah, shirt.tips/club. And yeah, I can't believe you guys are going on 5 days a week. That's crazy.
I don't know. But she's so brilliant in business. I'm just like, hey, yep, whatever you say. Like, she, okay, I'm in. So please take advantage of this if you're listening. I really wish this was around 6 years ago, but
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, sir, I guess I don't know when. As soon as my country allows me to leave, maybe we can get together for another cigar and sit down, talk shop.
Can't wait.
But I do really appreciate you coming on. Aww. Now, please stand by. After the podcast, it'll probably be just a couple minutes here, but I would like to talk to you about a couple other things.
Cool.
Daniel, thank you for being on.
Awesome. Thank you, gentlemen. Anytime you need me, I'm here. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Kelsey.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
That was a great show, How to Build a Tribe. Hope everybody got something out of it. I learned a couple of things. I really love the idea about using that Helium 10 Chrome extension to you know, find out your what and how your audience communicates. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, awesome. And I think, let us know what your favorite part of today's episode was in the comment section. And yeah, we'd love to know. Also, again, if you're coming in at the tail end of this episode, you missed out, you can go over to our YouTube channel. That's where all the episodes are. You can find the daily highlights as well. And we have a big contest coming up. We have two contests, I guess, one for the group and one for outside of the group. But that is happening on Tuesday. Both are going to be announced. One is exclusive for the Facebook group, so you need to join. That's the Amazon FBA and e-commerce collective, Lunch with Norm. So please join if you're interested. That's going to include some consultation time with Norm and I. So yeah, it'll be fun. We've got some big giveaways going on. I'm excited, and yeah.
I am looking forward to that. And let's see. Today's Friday. Who's coming up next week, Kels?
Next week. Let me just...
On the side,
David Dayon.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, he's going to be talking about how to create a winning Amazon listing, as well as mention the e-commerce collective and what you can gain from that. But
all right, very
good. It should be a good episode.
So we talked about tribe building today. Guys, if you like what you heard, please join our group. Please check us out on Facebook. We'd love to have you in our tribe. We try to provide as much value and tons of content. Also, you can subscribe to our newsletter, which you can go to Lunch to Norm or Lunch with Norm, or over to normferrar.com and subscribe. The content doesn't suck. It's good. There's no advertising. It's just pure content. All right. So thank you for coming on the podcast today and listening. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Eastern Standard Time. And thank you all for joining us. We really can't. We could never have done this without you, you know, helping us and becoming part of this group, engaging. So thank you. Enjoy the Easter holiday, and we'll see you next time. Lunch with the 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 Lunch with the